It's a wonderful place to be in the center of his will. Praise his name. If you want to turn over to the book of Galatians, the Lord put on my heart Galatians chapter 4. And before we read a few verses, I was thinking about what Paul wrote to the church there in Galatia, and how he had to go back to them and really teach them who they were. We've all heard of people having a last will and testament. And by definition, a will is a legal document that a person, in which a person declares to whom his or her possessions will go upon that person's death. And the person who creates the will is called the testator, and the person who receives the assets of the testator's estate is known as the beneficiary. And typically, when a will is drafted, it's often through the use of an attorney, an expert. You can chat with John or Michelle or Dorcio, and you can ask them about a will. If you don't have one, I suggest you get one. But after a will is drafted, the testator must sign it in front of witnesses. And then a lot of times those witnesses will sign it, and it will be notarized. So it becomes a validation of the authenticity of the will. And quite often a copy of the will is then given to the testator for safekeeping, but then also copies are retained by the attorney's office, and sometimes even the testator may give copies of his or her will to the people mentioned in the will so that they know you're in my will. And I was thinking about this in kind of a natural way that, you know, God has established a will, his will, for you and me. And his purpose has been documented, just like a will in the natural. It's been documented, and it's right here. It's our Bible. It's been written. It was drafted. It's been written. It's been witnessed. And it's been secured by God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is so wonderful is that we have been privileged to know the contents of God's will and who we are. Who we are. Praise his name. We are the beneficiaries of God's will, and we've been made his heirs by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Over in Hebrews chapter 9, you know, Paul also extends this deeper truth to the church there in to the Hebrews. He says, "For where a testament is, there must also be the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." See, Jesus had to die in order so that we could be the sons of God. And Shelley and I each have a will. We have individual wills. And our beneficiaries are Michael and Lauren. They are our heirs. You know, I love you all, but, you know, you're not in our wills. Sad to say. Well, you wouldn't get much anyway, but. But our wills are designated for our children, and that's very common. So when you're there in Galatians 4, let's read what Paul has to say to this church, and just read the first few verses there, if I can turn to it and be with you. Galatians 4, starting in verse 1, he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That is who you are. Now, naturally speaking, a child is a child. He lacks the immaturity to understand and appreciate that he is an heir. And I have two grandsons. And they know who their mommy and daddy are. But they don't have any concept of being an heir. They're not mature enough. They only have a limited capacity. So Paul refers to a child spiritually as a servant. Now, service for the Lord is good, and we are called to be servants in that God, Jesus commanded us to love one another as we love him. That's our reasonable service, is to love all men. But God does not see us as servants, does he? No longer. He sees us as his maturing and his matured sons and heirs. As we grow up into all things in Christ, and eventually with anybody who becomes a newborn Christian, there's a maturing process that has to take place. There comes a time of accountability when you realize who you are in Christ. Praise his name. You know, I think about a couple of examples in the Bible. You know, we have this story of this young man who, in Luke 15, we call him the prodigal son, but you don't find that word in Scripture. But, you know, he believed that he was mature enough to receive his father's inheritance. And he said, give me my portion. Give me my portion. But what did he do with it? What did he do with it? He went out into the world. And what happened when it was all gone? His so-called friends leave him. But then he comes to his senses and he realizes who he is, and he's ashamed. But you know, he's still a son. Think about Esau. Esau was a mature man. He was a mature man. But he didn't value, he despised even his birthright, his God-given heirship. And he sold it to his brother. For what? Because he was hungry? See, Esau rejected what God had for him, but God had a plan. It was going to be Jacob all along. You see, God's will cannot be altered. It can't be contested. It can't be amended. It can't be nullified. It can't be. We must treasure our inheritance, that with which we have been afforded by the blood of Jesus, the testator. And there's nothing that can take that away from you. Nothing. And it's not that we're waiting to inherit it. We've already received the inheritance. Have we not? That's what Paul is trying to get across to these folks in Galatia. Know who you are. Know who you are. You're not a servant. You know, it's sad to me. Oftentimes, there are so many Christian denominations, brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, who will, either through ignorance or maybe self-righteousness, keep this message of inheritance away from their congregations. That is just a tragedy. When we accepted Jesus, we received his very spirit into our hearts, didn't we? We did. At that very moment, and we probably didn't realize it at the time, we were granted the adopted sons, the heirs of God through Christ Jesus. We are his beneficiaries. See, we're not only in the center of God's will, as we sang. You know, you are the center of his will. You're it. How wonderful. Well, praise his name. God bless you this morning, and I hope he comes today.